Here is pro golfer, PGA Tour, TSN, U.S. Open analyst, Graham Dillette joining us. What's happening, Graham?
Hey, fellas. What's happening? How are you?
Well, we're praying for
a chop fest.
Yeah, like this looks incredibly difficult, not shockingly. But what are you seeing out of Wingfoot today?
Well, it's starting to show its teeth a little bit more, obviously, with a little bit of wind and kind of some colder weather. I think everyone was a little bit shocked yesterday or surprised anyways to see such soft greens, and the greens firmed up just a little bit. They still don't have that kind of U.S. Open fire in them quite yet, but I think we can fully expect to see that on the weekend, and I still think that over par is definitely going to win this golf tournament.
You think the draw would have been a big factor here, Graham? It's like guys that played early this morning, they couldn't wait to get off that golf course and say, have fun today, fellas.
You know what's funny, man, is I was actually thinking kind of almost the opposite about that. If you're the guy who wakes up in the morning, turns on the TV, and you're watching this, and you're just like, oh, boy. There's almost like a little bit of like nerves when you're sitting in your hotel room or your rental house and you've got 4 hours to kind of sit around. You're like, maybe I shouldn't even watch this, but you kind of want to because you want to see how it's playing. But, you know, it's got to hurt the confidence. And then when you get out there, you see some of the best players. I mean, like even Justin Thomas today just couldn't get the ball in the fairway. And you miss a couple fairways, you start guiding it a little bit, and then it starts to snowball on you so fast. And I mean, he kind of pulled it together and I think he finished one under total, so four over today. And he's probably happy now. Like, I mean, I obviously don't think he was super thrilled with his round, but he's got to be happy with his position anyway. It's going to be crazy this weekend.
I'll give these guys credit, Graham. When they miss fairways, it's not like they scale back that much. It's like they'll keep grabbing the three wood. They'll keep grabbing the driver, where you would think these guys hit three irons, 240 yards. They just... If I'm the caddy, aren't you saying, like, just get something out there in the fairway, but they just keep grabbing the lumber and smashing away at it?
Yeah, it's like you always want to try to get it as far as you can type of thing. And, you know, I was talking to Julian, my old caddy. He's working for Adam Long here this week, and he's like, you know, it's about one in five, so 20% of the time you can get some pretty good club on the ball. And I think sometimes you look at it and you're like, I think I can maybe get a little bit more, and those are the ones that usually cost you. But however, you also don't want to – You don't want to leave it like 60 yards, that kind of weird window where you can't really get any good spin on the golf ball.
Yeah.
You're better off trying to like chop something. If it comes out high, you can maybe chase to the front edge. And if it comes out dead, well, then you got maybe that 100-yard shot and you can hit something fall into the green. But, you know, all that is so much easier said than done when you're in the moment. It's a little bit different because you always think that you can pull most off. But you look at a guy like Phil, and I think that's why he's never really – I wouldn't say he's never had success, but he's never won there. And it's because he plays kind of that balls to the wall type golf all the time. And that's not, it's more of a patient type of game to win the U.S. Open. And he, you know, he likes to bomb it or whatever. And he likes to play aggressively. And, I think you just see it in him. I don't think he likes that golf tournament very much. And I think he was probably as happy as anyone to be leaving.
Well, that's it. I mean, you look at it, Mickelson's 13 over, he's done, and right beneath him on the leaderboard is Tiger at 12 over. And Tiger's still out there through 15. He is now 12 over. He is 9 over on the day.
Wow.
He looks like he's going to shoot 80. And, we finished the show yesterday, Graham, and I thought he played okay yesterday. You know, he made some unforced errors, but I thought he played pretty well. And I'm like, okay, if he doubles down on that, he'll make the cut and he'll be fine. And it either carried over or the conditions got to him or his game fell apart. But Tiger is a mess on day two. And I guess we can't be that surprised.
You know, and it's like that finish yesterday, I think he went three over in his last two. Obviously, you know, that burns pretty much all night when you're having your meal and maybe that beer before you hit the bed. And then, like I said, you wake up in the morning, you see how tough the golf course is, and that makes it even hurt anymore. Like, man, if I'd have just parred those last two, I'd be even par. I might, you know, be in sixth, seventh place by the time I tee off. And all of a sudden now he's three over and you start, like I said, you just get off to a little bit of a bad start and you start steering it around out there. And it's obviously, he's not the Tiger of old. We all kind of know that. We all want to see just that short little glimpse, even if it is, and you know, in a major or whatever. But the fact that he, you know, it's the similar kind of to me. Like I feel like I can't put in the work that I used to. You're not playing full time really anymore. and you don't really know exactly what to expect, and you're not in the mix as much anymore. So, like, when he used to get in these majors, it was like he was salivating. He knew that he was the best. He knew that he was going to win every single time. You could just see the confidence, and you know, you just watch him walk down the fairways, and he just looks like a different player now, just from like a just his aura. He used to just kind of glow, and now he just kind of, he's like mixed in with the rest of the guys type of thing.
Do you see a setup tomorrow where there might be some more birdies available, or the USGA doesn't really care about the quality of, you know, production on television? They want to see guys grind all 4 days. Or do they have a softy day, or is it just watch this, fellas, watch out?
I think yesterday was a softy day, and you know, the one of the other things that some of the guys told me when I was talking to were there is, you know, they wanted to get guys done Thursday and Friday with, you know, having this tournament in September, the days being so much shorter. They think that that's one of the reasons why they set it up kind of so easy. I guess like yesterday they said the pins were really easy, a lot softer conditions than normal, because they want to get everyone in here before Friday night so they can play twosomes on the weekend and really kind of show it. But like even like, you know, yesterday you saw so many balls that kind of track in almost like Augusta, like where to like kick in birdies, and there's a lot of hole outs and that kind of thing. And that can still be done on firm greens, but the precision has to be so much more. But the soft greens, you can kind of use those slopes a lot more. And I mean, one day of not watering, I don't know if they have sub air there. They turn a little sub air on, and this could get wild here on the weekend.
With Graham Dillette, PGA Tour player, and our U.S. Open analyst here with TSN all weekend, when you look at the top of the leaderboard, it's naturally got some very compelling names. You know, Patrick Reed has played really well through 36. Thomas is up there. And then you got guys like, you know, John Rahm and Dustin Johnson, who are a little bit behind, but they're still there. You know, Johnson put himself back into the tournament today, and Rahm, I think, was one or two over, but he's still right there. And if you add Thomas to it, if JT can stick around, those are the three best players in the world right now. And if they're all in the top 10 going into the weekend, you got to think from a handicapping perspective, one of those three will be in a race for the U.S. Open come Sunday night.
Yeah, I would think that that's fair to say. And even yesterday after DJ, you know, what did he shoot yesterday? Maybe three over, which seems so bad. But, I mean, that was it was ahead of the median score. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, for him, maybe. But, you know, a good bet yesterday would have been to take DJ to win. Like, I mean, what, he's eight back with three rounds to play on the hardest golf course. And on courses like the U.S. Open, the cream pretty much always rises to the top. It's pretty rare that you have, like, a fluke winner, you know, in the U.S. Open. Like, Michael Campbell, I remember from years back, he was still a hell of a player. But other than that, it seems like there's always big-time players that are winning this golf tournament. And I don't think it's going to be any different here this year. At least, you know, there's going to be some big guys in the mix, yeah.
Yeah, you got to believe it. Well, we'll see where it goes this weekend. It's going to be fun. Enjoy the tournament. Enjoy the coverage. And we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
Graham
Thanks,
Dillette,
Graham.
Joining us here on Overdrive. Yeah, so as it currently stands at the U.S. Open, DeChambeau is at 3-under. And he wrapped up early this morning. He went out, I think, around 7:30 or something, and was 2-under today. And he's sitting there atop the leaderboard, and Patrick Reed is at 3-under. And
that DeChambeau hit a mambo drive. There was a, I think, check the how long number 9 is. I think it's a par 5. He hit a driver in a 9-iron, dude.
It's outrageous.
It's outrageous.
Outrageous how far he can hit the ball. And he's fairly accurate with that.
Yeah. I think he told himself, you can go ahead and start bombing it around this, but if you're not going to keep it straight, you might as well just pack your lunch.
Well, exactly. That's why I didn't trust him this weekend. I just figured he'd be in every tree and he'd be in the rough. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're hitting a wedge or a 7-iron out of that rough, man. It's buried. It's not going anywhere. He's not going to hold on that green.
Is Reed the guy who likes to cheat a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if he's fluffing.
Yeah.
Think he fluffs?
Oh,
he's right in contention. He's got as good of a chance as anyone to win this.
Do you think he had a combo with his caddy? Look, no fans. Let's fluff.
No, you know that people is eagle-eyeing that guy. Like, didn't they? You guys have told me this before. There used to be a number where people could just call in, right?
Yeah. Yep. Just slobs on their couch. Slobs half in the bag ever. On their couch could call in and say that guy cheated.
I love it.
I still think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever. Could you imagine?
Who the hell,
that?
Brian? Like, who is Joe Blow that's drunk on his couch? Who is he getting a hold of?
Like, well, that's what I never understood. Like, where is
neither.
The call center? You know, is the call center even in this hemisphere, or is it halfway around the world? Yeah.
There was no social media.
No, I know.
I don't know.
Who were they calling is what I want to
know. I just think it's hilarious. Could you imagine, like, in hockey, you could have a call line if a guy missed a call. Like, that, that was tripping behind the play. You'd have Joe from the bridge calling that line off the hook.
Now with social media, you're dusted, man. Like, there was a situation, I think it happened this year, with John Rahm at the Memorial. It was either the week before or the Memorial.
No, it was the Memorial. He won it, and he chipped in. I know what you're talking about.
On 16, apparently people thought that his ball, which I thought it just oscillated. It didn't really move, but people were like, ball moved here, and they just zoomed right in on Twitter, and it's like, people are, just be quiet.
But they were talking about it with the telecast the whole rest of the round. I mean, there was only two more holes.
Yeah.
But it was
he had a big lead.
He did, so it got lucky that he won it, even if they did give him a penalty, I think.
You're right. They did give it to him, and the lead at the end of the day with the penalty, it wasn't that big. It might have been two.
Yeah, I think he won by one or two, but I think that's why they did give it to him, because they're like, why don't we save ourselves the hassle? He's winning anyway. Yeah. Give it to him so that all the idiots online stop yelling and screaming. He's still going to win, so it doesn't ultimately matter. Mm-hmm. That would have been really testy, man. Like, and he didn't know about it. So,
See his face when they asked him after he walked off the 18th green? Whoever interviewed him, I think it was Bia Lois, and she was like, are you aware of the situation with your ball moving? And he looked like Patrick Reed after he had just fluffed in the rough. He was like, oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, I don't know, Johnny.
Yeah, maybe someone got in his ear and said, hey, they're checking you. The tape is in, you know, and they want to know what happened there on 16. But he chipped that in. That's the amazing thing. Like, could you imagine if he didn't? Like, if you skull that pass and you miss the putt coming back.
Then you're rattled.
Then you've got the penalty. Then you're on 17. I'll bet you he chokes away the tournament. But
it's just funny. I just think it's funny.
It's like, so ridiculous.
A call.